You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation, and welcome to your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every game, news item, rumor, and more. Thank you for subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on Himalaya. My name is David Ramil. I'm going to start off today's show with a quote from Pat Riley that reads, "As teams develop and evolve, there are many players who could be labeled the face of a franchise. Then there are those that rise above that. In my opinion, with all due respect to others, Dwayne Wade has been the face of this franchise. I am so delighted that Dwayne is going to be honored by having his jersey retired. He is so deserving. Hashtag face of the franchise forever." Again, that's Pat Riley on a press release that came out earlier Tuesday announcing that Dwayne Wade's jersey would be retired over the course of a three-day event. This is going to be very unusual as far as retirement ceremonies are concerned. There's going to be a pre-retirement ceremony on Friday, February 21st at 8 p.m. with an event called The Flashback that will, according to the press release, honor Wade's impact on NBA basketball, the Miami Heat, and the South Florida community. That's going to be open to guests, and it's a much smaller crowd. It's going to be what they call a concert-like configuration at the arena, whatever it'll be called at that point. So it will not be available to everybody. Also, it's season ticket members, premium seat holders, and corporate partners. So it's not going to be a full house there, but it's a special event. Media will be there, and of course, I'll be covering the event, as always. The following day, on February 22nd, a Saturday, there will be the actual jersey retirement when the Heat face the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's going to be, well, I mean, it's not much of a game because it'll be the Cavaliers, but it'll be Dwayne in attendance as he watches his jersey being lifted up into the rafters. And then the following day, on Sunday, February 23rd, there will be an exclusive screening of an upcoming Dwayne Wade documentary. It's a feature-length documentary that chronicles, again, according to the media release, Wade's NBA career and his life off the court as he goes through his final year in the league, reflecting back on the personal and professional challenges, victories, and setbacks through his unwavering journey. So we already saw, when he announced his one last dance prior to last year, that he was part of this documentary process. We didn't see it really actively over the course of the season. Cameras were following him around for a lot of the year, but you know, that's Dwayne Wade. That's his life, and it's been his life for the past 20 some odd years. So it wasn't too far-fetched to see that kind of activity around Dwayne, but this is the culmination of that. This is the documentary about Dwayne, and it's going to be, again, available to the public. This will be, I think, for a limited, a small price there. It'll be a limited capacity, but it'll be available to any kind of ticket holders or people who buy tickets. So that's an event if you're interested in attending. It should be interesting to see the cleaned up version of this. I'm sure it'll feature highlights from his last season, including you know, the game winner against Golden State, the triple double, you know, all the different things that he was able to accomplish over the course of his last year in Miami, and you know, just touching on everything that's happened over the course of his career, all the jersey exchanges, all the different things that have happened. And it should be a fun, interesting evening. I've already seen, you know, as news broke from Shams Charania of The Athletic, I've already seen some people criticize whether or not it's too much and over the top. And I'll go ahead and say it. It is. It absolutely is. It's 3 days. It's a lot. It's a special, again, not you know, exclusive event, but it's a limited attendance. That first night, it's a game against a bad team, the Cavaliers, the second night when the jersey's being hoisted. I'm not sure if that was because it's Cleveland, and well, I'll say it. Maybe LeBron James will be in attendance. He has a lot of reason to be there. If it's Dwayne, if it's Cleveland, he played for both franchises. So if he's interested in attending, it's a good reason for him to do so. And no fan base from either the Heat or Cleveland will be upset if he's in attendance because he played for both teams. He won championships for both teams. So that makes a lot of sense. Also, Dwayne Wade obviously played for both teams as well. So it makes sense. Kevin Love's a friend. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what the rationale was behind having it in Cleveland, but either way. And then, of course, the third day with the documentary. So there's a lot here. But I'll also say that I understand the rationale behind it, because I think he does mean a lot to this franchise, to the city. We've seen over the course of his career here how much things have changed because of Dwayne Wade. Like, for everything that we give credit, and rightfully so, to Pat Riley for initiating change in 1995 when he took over the franchise, none of it makes any sense or culminates in a championship without Dwayne. He is the reason why there are three championship trophies at the American Airlines Arena. And he is the best player in franchise history by far. He exceeds any other player. I mean, even LeBron, as good as he was here, was a limited stint and doesn't have the same kind of impact. Look, beyond that, LeBron doesn't come without Dwayne. You know, we gave a lot of credit. Again, Pat Riley played a part in helping create a scenario where Chris Bosh and LeBron James could join Miami. Neither of those two players joins the Heat without Dwayne. And he is 95% responsible for their joining this franchise. Not just that, but all the players that came after him. You look at today's roster, and Jimmy Butler isn't part of this franchise without Dwayne Wade and his influence. And the fact specifically that he saw how Dwayne was treated in his last season, and he wanted something similar to that. I think for so many players, and not for every player, because, I mean, players, like people in general, have different interests and different things that appeal to them. But a lot of players want to have that sense of home and community and respect and having something beyond the game that they can, a legacy. And it's no coincidence that this is being referred to as the Legacy Retirement Weekend, with the E in legacy being replaced by a 3, of course. But, you know, this is what they're looking for. They're looking for something that, for people to remember them, for them to have come up from whatever upbringing they did, from whatever roots they came up from, in order to be here and to have so much given to them and so much done for them. It means a lot. And I think it means a lot to Jimmy to see how Dwayne was respected and treated last year. And I think this is the ulterior motive for what's going on. This is bigger than this. This is the next phase of Pat Riley and, to an extent, Dwayne Wade's recruitment process, because this is all about appealing to Giannis Antetokounmpo and saying, you're loved in Milwaukee, but you'll be treated like a Greek god here. And I think that's something to consider. I think this is part of a larger appeal where he's reaching out to players around the league and saying, we know how to create a legacy. We know how to honor you above all else. And I think that means a lot. I think it also changes a lot of the bad will that was created in 2014 when LeBron left on less than good terms. I think LeBron's going to Cleveland, and things that he's told people around the league, from my understanding, is that, you know, Miami may not have been the kind of stellar franchise that a lot of people view it as. I think we see it closely as a well-run organization, but that doesn't mean that they don't make mistakes. They're making them now, they made them in the past, and they'll make them in the future. But whatever LeBron may or may not have said about this franchise, a lot of that is going to change with how Dwayne Wade is respected during the ceremony. And I think that's the ulterior motive here. This is the reason why they're doing what they're doing, to lure a Giannis Antetokounmpo or the next superstar that wants something more than just statistics and all-star games, and maybe even more than just championships. This is about a legacy, and this is the franchise that will help you create it and help you sustain that for the rest of your life. But that's it for Dwayne Wade. It's about a month from the NBA trade deadline, and rumors are flying around everywhere. I'll look at some of the big names being floated around and if they fit for Miami. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Jimmy Butler a true superstar? I'll get into that in the next segment. But first, this question comes from Billy Kuhn. And I should say that this is a pseudo mailbag episode. I put out the call for some mailbag questions. And between using the hashtag AskLOHeat and Twitter, and even some questions I got via email, there were so many different questions, so many great ones, that I could not include them all in one episode. And with Dwayne's announcement, I thought it was important to address that, and I'll try to include a couple of mailbag questions in today's episodes. I'll probably record a second mailbag episode at some point later on the week, but this question again comes from Billy, and he writes in, Now that you're all moved in and back from the holidays, yes, finally. It's been a hectic couple of weeks, and now it's just about covering games and doing the best I can. But either way, this is Billy's question about this roster. He says he's perfectly content with the roster as is and would like to see what they do in the playoffs. However, Pat Riley is, well, Pat Riley, and you have to think he's scheming in that front office to go from a dangerous second-round team to making a finals appearance. News has been going around about possible trades regarding Kyle Kuzma, Kevin Love, Andre Drummond, Blake Griffin, if he doesn't end his season with knee surgery, and DeMar DeRozan. I wouldn't want to trade for any of them unless it was like for James Johnson, Deion Waiters, Kendrick Nunn, and maybe Duncan Robinson, but that's not happening. What do you think? Will Pat take a wait-and-see approach or try and nab one of these guys at the trade deadline? Well, we can already scratch out Blake Griffin. As good a player as he is and as good as his numbers were early in the season, he was kind of bogged down with injury. Didn't really play much to start the year. Kind of was in and out of the lineup, and he finally had season-ending surgery, or what it looks like to be season-ending surgery. He's going to have a long rehab process, and his career might be, well, it might be a shade of what it was supposed to be. Like, Blake Griffin has evolved into a very versatile player. He came into this league as just a guy known for dunking, and he became a really good floor runner, floor spacer, playmaker, to couple with some of that diminished athleticism, and his career may never be fully, you know, complete. Well, we might never know what we could have expected out of a good Blake Griffin, because we may never see it. We saw flashes here and there, but I don't know if it's enough to warrant a place in the Hall of Fame, to be honest with you. I think that's a question that it should not be asked, because I think he deserves it based on the kind of play he could have produced. But I mean, maybe you could make a case for Brandon Roy or somebody else, and there are other players that have gone through injuries that have diminished their level of play, and Blake is certainly one of them. We may not ever see this version of him, and whether or not he comes back humbled, we've heard from so many people his personality is a problem, from no less than Jared Dudley. And I know it's easy to dismiss Dudley as a guy who is a complimentary role player, a scrub, whatever you want to call him, but he's been around the league for a long time. He's been in a lot of rosters around a lot of players, and if he says that he can't get along with Blake Griffin, there's something wrong with Blake Griffin. I mean it may be wrong is stating it badly, but Blake is probably difficult to get along with. So I can only imagine what that issue might be. And I said it years ago when Blake was a potential trade target from Detroit or from the Clippers. It was just, I never wanted him on this team, and I stick to that. As good as he's been, I don't want him on this team. So I hope that answers part of Billy's question. Either way, he's not an option this year, and I don't think he'll be an option in the future, because he's getting paid a whole heck of a lot of money to be a diminished version of who he is. As for Kyle Kuzma, well, I don't like that trade either, to be honest with you. I'm just not a big fan of Kuzma's game in general. I think he doesn't do anything particularly well. He's more hype than anything else. I think he's part of the Los Angeles Lakers hype machine. I think he exceeded expectations based on the fact that he was a late first-round pick. And, you know, a lot of people saw Lonzo Ball as a future. They had D'Angelo Russell. They had Brandon Ingram. They had all these high lottery picks that, quite frankly, sucked or couldn't produce at a high level, and all of a sudden you got some production out of Kuzma, and that hype starts to slowly build and build, and he's a mediocre player, an inconsistent mediocre player at best. He has some athleticism. He can't space the floor. He doesn't play defense consistently. He doesn't do anything, again, particularly well, so I don't see why you'd want to acquire him. I think he's somebody that they could probably pry for a quality shooter. We've already heard Sacramento dangling, strangely enough, a very good shooter and ball handler in Bogdan Bogdanovic. You can listen to me and my former Heat co-host Wes Goldberg talking about it in the most recent Locked On NBA episode. definitely check that out, but I just don't see Kuzma being on Miami's radar, because I don't think we have anything that they'd be looking for. Like, if you trade Duncan Robinson, who is a very good shooter, he makes sense for the Lakers, but you'd probably need to trade somebody else in addition to that. Would Waiters and Duncan Robinson be enough to get Kyle Kuzma? Probably. I think they could both contribute, as ball handlers, as floor spacers, as playmakers. And Duncan's defense isn't bad, and he's been coached well, obviously, so I think he would fit with Los Angeles. But I don't know why the hell you'd want to make that trade. Like, Kuzma, again, is a okay player. He needs to improve, and maybe Miami's, you know, structure, and maybe they can get him playing and maximizing his potential, but I don't know. I just don't see it right now. And look, from the other perspective, he's young. He fits along with the young core, Bam Adebayo, and some of the other guys here. But I don't know that you want to give up Duncan Robinson for Kyle Kuzma. And maybe I'm strange, but I think Kuzma fits better as a complementary role to Jimmy Butler. I think Kuzma has too many off-the-court interests that I think kind of diminish his focus a little bit. And I think that's something that Pat Riley would not want in this roster. But either way, for Kevin Love, I just don't see that happening again. Like, Kevin is a fine player. He's a good complimentary player, but so much of his salary is going to take up so much cap space that I think he's not the kind of player that Miami would want. I you know, debated this back and forth over the course of the year when we weren't sure what kind of version this team would be. They've exceeded expectations early, and now that we're getting so many contributions from so many players, you know, where does Kevin Love fit in, and do you want to sacrifice that kind of salary cap space when you're already seeing so many different off-the-court machinations to possibly lure Giannis Antetokounmpo to this roster? You sure that you want to tie that up with Kevin Love? I don't think so. I just don't see a play for Love taking place. It's something that's been debated. I think he fits well in Portland, where he's from. I think they're looking for a trade. I think they can move Hassan Whiteside. We saw Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports talking about the fact that there seems to be a trade likely there because Dame Lillard did not sign up for this. So I'll kind of package the Kevin Love conversation because I think Kevin Love winds up in Portland later this year. But I'll also add that a lot of people saw that news from Chris Haynes and thought that maybe Dame Lillard would be a trade option for Miami. I think you absolutely make that move if it's available. I think you get a guy like Dame if whenever possible. Dame is the real deal. We saw that recently when he played here, but we've seen it over the course of his career. He's a very good floor leader. He's a very good off-the-court leader. He's a hell of a player. I think if it wasn't for the Western Conference being as determined and dogged as it's been every year as far as a race to get out of there and so many different players. I mean, Mike Conley Jr., with his exception of struggling to fit into Utah this season, has been a very, very, very good NBA player, one that a lot of Heat fans wanted to acquire. And he's never made the All-Star game there. So for Dame Lillard to be an All-Star level player in the Western Conference speaks volumes. He's a hell of a player. He's a Hall of Famer, without a doubt, and he would be great in Miami. I think you'd love him here in a Heat uniform, and you trade whatever you have to. Tyler Hero, Deion Waiters, whoever you have to do, whoever you have to move in order to get Dame Lillard, you do it. As good as Tyler is, and believe me, I love his game, I love his style, I love his attitude, his confidence, but, I mean, Dame has that, and then some. Dame brings you to another level. I'll go quickly through a couple of these other names. Andre Drummond, you certainly don't want. I think for all that Myers Leonard has as far as glaring weaknesses in his game, I think he fits this culture so much better. He creates space. Drummond raises the ceiling for the team somewhat, but I don't know that you want him and Bam out there because both of them need to be effective getting to the rim. Drummond is not a floor spacer, and so clogging the lane is not going to help Miami's offense this time around. Again, Blake Griffin isn't an option. DeMar DeRozan, another big name, but just one that I don't see fitting into Miami, so I don't see that taking place here. He's okay. He's an aging star. And again, I don't know what you're giving up for him. If you're going to sacrifice salary cap space for DeMar DeRozan and you're going to give up some of the young players that you already have, like a Duncan Robinson or a Kendrick Nunn, it's not worth it. I don't know that you're getting so much of an upgrade over any of those players just to add DeRozan to your roster. So that's it as far as these trade talks are concerned. There are other names to keep an eye on, but these are the biggest ones that have been floated out there. I'm not sure who else is available. It might be a quiet trade deadline. We'll see. I'll keep answering the mailbag in the next segment, including a question about Miami's next big three. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review, especially if it's a good one. This question came in, and I can't recall exactly when it did or how it did. I couldn't find it in email. I couldn't find it on Twitter, and I apologize to whichever listener sent this question in, but it's a good one, and I thought I'd address it today. I was thinking about how the Milwaukee Bucks and Miami Heat are both teams with one star, more or less. Both have depth. A second all-star in Middleton and a potential all-star this year in Bam Adebayo, but the difference is the one star. Is Jimmy closer to Giannis in greatness or Middleton in a complementary role? Well, that is an interesting question, if nothing else. I think it's a really good one because I'd have to say the obvious answer is he's closer to Chris Middleton in a complementary role. The reason why is that Jimmy has no holes in his game. He is a very, very, very good player, and I think he fits, as we've seen, Miami perfectly. I think I've been on the Jimmy Butler to Miami train longer than anyone, and I'm pretty sure you can check the receipts on that. It's been years since I talked to him when he was back in Minnesota and talked to him about work ethic and everything else and how he was critical of Andrew Wiggins, and I immediately said that he'd be a great fit in Miami. He just seems to scream Heat culture, and we're seeing it, you know, come out in reality. That doesn't mean that he is a perfect superstar. That's a whole other ballgame, and that's not one that Jimmy's playing, because he just does so many things well. He plays defense at such a high level. He has a good mid-range game. Prior to this year, he had a good three-point shot, decent three-point shot, not great. He can get to the rim. He shoots free throws well. Again, very, very, very good in every regard. He just doesn't put up those numbers at a gaudy level, and I think that's what separates him as a superstar that isn't a Giannis Antetokounmpo, and there's nothing wrong with that. There are very, very few players in the league that are close to that Giannis level. I mean, you can make a case for LeBron James. You can make a case for Anthony Davis, James Harden, Giannis. I'm probably missing a name here, but I think those are the biggest names. And you can make a case for other guys like Luka Doncic being up there. Dame Lillard is certainly a top 10 player. Jimmy is maybe not quite top 10. But if you're looking at the 450 best players on the planet, more or less, and you're looking at Jimmy Butler being in the top 15, maybe even close to top 10, as far as those players are concerned, that's pretty good. Jimmy's a very, 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 very good player, and I cannot reiterate that enough. He just may not be a Giannis-level superstar that can take over games. I think Giannis, obviously, is still not a perfect shooter. He's improved greatly over the course of his career, and he looks really solid some nights. This season, but at the same time, I'm not sure that you're going to rely on him as a floor spacer. Either way, he can get to the rim at will because he has such incredible athleticism. Same thing with LeBron James. Before LeBron came to Miami, he was not a floor spacer that you could count on consistently. He evolved over the course of his career, and now he's a very dangerous threat from the perimeter. But what did he have that nobody else did? Was that incredible athleticism that let him get to the rim, let him create his shot whenever he wanted to. Jimmy can create his shot. He's just not the kind of player that's going to take 30 shots a game and hit, you know, 20 of them, which is what he kind of needs to do in order to put up those gaudy numbers that stand out as superstar level, you know, more like MVP type level greatness. And that's, you know, that I think he exerts himself too much on the defensive end to exert himself that much on the offensive end. And that's not to knock guys like LeBron, who's played defense at a high level, or Giannis, who certainly plays it. Anthony Davis absolutely does too. I think Jimmy just chooses to play his game a little differently. Maybe he could go out there and just take shot after shot after shot, be the focal point, the fulcrum of the offense. But I don't know if he feels best doing that. I think he likes sharing the ball. I think he's good at it. He's always been an underrated passer and playmaker, and we've seen that be a very, very useful part of Miami's offense early on in the season. So to be honest with you, I think he's better than Middleton by a very, very big stretch. I also don't think he's quite at Giannis's level, and that's okay. I mean, Giannis is he is the Greek freak for a reason, and that's okay, because eventually when Antetokounmpo joins Miami, Jimmy's going to be the perfect complementary player and a much better one than Middleton is, so it all makes sense. This next question comes in from Jay Folk Hip, who writes, what is the likely scenario that the Heat will have another big three, and will Bam Adebayo, in your opinion, be considered as one of those three? Wow. So I guess the likeliest scenario is one that we've been hinting at all show, I've been hinting at, which is Giannis to Miami. And if that's the case, is Giannis in Miami in a couple seasons, you know, again, the dream, Jimmy Butler at 32, 33, is he still a big three superstar? Is he more like Dwayne Wade was at the tail end of the big three era? Is Bam a version of Chris Bosh? Well, I think we'd have to see, to answer Jay Folk's question, I think that's the likely scenario for the big three. It's adding a superstar either via trade next year, at some point this year, or in free agency in a couple of years. Having Jimmy on here as a older big three participant, another older member of a big three, and then Bam being that option. And I think with all-star consideration, with expanding versatility, and most importantly, with a legitimate outside shot, then Bam is absolutely potentially a big three participant. Like, I think he could definitely be part of a big three if he has that outside shot working for him over the course of... I can't stress that enough. That's the missing factor for Bam, is for him to be a guy that can space the floor. I think we're starting to see versatility in offense because of his playmaking ability, and we're starting to see different work around the low post. He still does not have a back-to-the-basket game, but that's okay. He's done some really good work at developing some craftiness out there that we have not seen over the first couple of years of his career. He's still very young. He can still expand. He can still grow. He is a very, very good player. And I think if we're waiting on Giannis in a couple seasons, I think by that point, if he starts to continue that incremental growth that we've seen for him early on, he can absolutely be another member of a big three there. And I think that's the likely scenario. I don't know that there's anybody else in this roster who fits that. Could you make a case for Tyler Hero if you can't get Giannis? I don't know. Could Tyler Hero eclipse Jimmy in the next couple of years as a player, as Jimmy kind of ages out? If you are able to somehow get Giannis Antetokounmpo by that time that, you know, that contract ends, is Jimmy out of the big three and Tyler emerging as a part of that big three? Maybe it's a big four. It's hard to envision it. It's hard to see how that works out. Look, if you look at what happened in Golden State, it was a big three, if you will, of Draymond, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry. But then you add KD to that mix, and then Klay becomes more of a complimentary floor spacer, incredible defender. Draymond always had his limitations. He wasn't going to put up shots the way he ever had. He's not much of an offensive player as much as a playmaker and an excellent defender, 1 through 5. And then KD is just, one of the all-time greats as a scorer. That seems to be the case there. But we also have to look at the rest of the league. Is it important to have a big three or just a great, consistent group of quality players, 1 through more like 7? I think that's more important than having a big three. I think you can win a lot of games, as Milwaukee is doing, with a secondary all-star in Middleton and a superstar in Giannis. And I think you can do the same thing in Miami. This next question, our last one, comes from Stephen Wang, who writes, can you see any situation outside of injury for Deion to become a regular contributor? No, I can't, Steven. I'm sorry. I've just lost hope. I think the final straw came when I saw James Johnson go into the game, despite all the injuries and everything else. And James was, look, I've thought that James could be a contributor for a long time. I still believe he can be. I also think Deion can. I think he can be a player. I think he can do the things that Deion did, which is create plays, play defense, and get to the rim, even if he's not finishing at the rim at a high level. I think he's not quite the three-point shooter that Kendrick Nunn is, I think, maybe. Or maybe he's not as willing to shoot the three as Kendrick Nunn is. But I think Deion isn't much of a downgrade from what Kendrick is providing. I think we've just all kind of forgotten, and it's easy to make jokes at Deion's expense, but I think he just really wants to play, and he's not going to get that opportunity. I talked about it the night after the Portland Blazers game, where James played, and the kind of things that he said about Eric Spoelstra and the franchise, and how you kind of have to put your best face forward and show that you're a willing participant, that you're going to contribute, even if you're not getting playing time. And I don't know that Deion's capable, so I just don't know that he's going to get that opportunity to play. I think they would love to be able to find a trade partner for him. So I don't know what the future is for Deion in Miami, other than he's not going to be playing much. I don't see it. I just don't see it at this point. If you still have Chris Silva and you're burning through his days on the Heat roster, and you can't find a trade partner for any of your other players, Kelly Olynyk, James Johnson, Deion Waiters, etc., I don't see how you're going to get any kind of production out of Deion. If you haven't gone to him at any point yet, I don't see any reason why you would. So the short answer is no. But anyway, the Heat are back on the floor on Wednesday night when they go up against the Indiana Pacers. That should be a really good one at the Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Check back here for your recap after the game. But that's it for today. You can connect with me on Twitter using the hashtag AskLHeat or email me at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. I'm David Ramil signing off and thanking you, as always, for your support. Yeah! Wrap it up, B.